Hey, everybody. JJ Cooper, Jeff Ponce, the final prospect podcast of 2025. Depending on when you're listening to this, we might even say a little happy new year into 2026. When you get as old as I am, it is hard to believe. These numbers are getting to be really weird for me now. And when I think of how many of these I've seen now, but we do hope that you are having a wonderful holidays. And as we get ready to go into 2026, today's podcast, our video on YouTube as well, is going to look ahead. This is all about peering into the future, peering into the crystal ball. Now, again, to date myself horribly, there used to be this bit on Conan O'Brien that actually started in the 90s, where it was called In the Year 2000. And my first podcast appearance at Baseball America, because we've been podcasting, by the way, since 2006 at Baseball America. So this is 2026 is going to be the 20th year of the Baseball America podcast, which is truly hard to believe. But I wasn't allowed to be on. I was the producer. I was the audio direct, you know, the audio engineer. But my first appearance is that we were doing predictions. And they decided to use, because by the way, Conan kept the bit going into the 21st century. So then like 2003, 2004, they were still predicting in the year 2000. And the part of it that will stick with anybody who was a fan of Conan is I think it was La Bamba would do the In the Year 2000. And I'm going to try to do it again. My voice is not as young as it used to be, but it was like, in the year. No, I can't do it. I can't. I'm bailing out right now. But it was like In the Year 2000 sung at an incredibly high pitch. And that was my first podcast appearance, was as I was allowed to do that and blow out my, my vocal cords. But Jeff, that was a very long-winded way of saying great to see you as always. You might recognize we're still wearing the same thing that we were wearing in last week's show, because we're recording both of these so that we can take the week and kind of rest and recover. But great to see you. And we're diving straight in, because this is about predictions. And I'm going to tee you up here and ask the question that when we're recording this, hopefully we're both here a year from now, and recording this podcast looking ahead to 2027, which shudder even think about. Who's going to be the number one farm system in baseball at that time?
I think we both have a similar answer here. So the obvious one to me, I think, is the White Sox. It's a pretty solid system now. It's kind of middle of the 30 systems.
Middle of the pack.
But kind of in that area, I'll say from like maybe 11 to 20, where it's fairly close. And it might be even closer from like 11 to 18, you know, where it's kind of like, who do you like a little bit better? Whose development do you trust a little bit more? So they have some good prospects. They have some pitching prospects that I don't think all of them will graduate. They have a top hitting prospect in Caleb Bonnemer, who I don't believe will graduate unless things go much better than we can even imagine as the biggest Caleb Bonnemer fans outside of his parents.
I was going to say, we're big Bonnemer fans. If he's in the big leagues and graduated this time next year, watch out.
Yeah, exactly. And they have the number one pick. So they have the number one pick. They have all the bonus pool money that goes with that. So they could end up with two, maybe even three prospects. And oh, by the way, they're going to end up with more than likely, you know, Rock Chulowski, who for all intents and purposes is considered one of the best college position prospects of the last decade. So even if he's not the number one,
he's a top 10 prospect when he walks in,
probably. He's a top 10 to 15 prospect, exactly. And those guys push systems up quite a bit. We both believe that Bonnemer could be in a similar range. Okay. You know, and then we have some of these other pitchers we talked about in the last show, McDougal, Jaden Fauske, prep hitter from last year's draft, who's pretty good. Christian Oper.
Billy Carlson is still there, who was the
first Carlson. Exactly. And they always, you know, sign a few international players. So I think there's enough depth here that's the one that I think I'll throw out there. But I think there's a couple other, you know.
The other key thing I'll say there, the other thing with the White Sox, is we do agree, I think both our first pick is the White Sox, is the other thing is this is the team that will still be acquiring, not trading away at the deadline. Now, we'll see how much they actually have to trade at the deadline. But let's say that they keep Louis Robert, and at midseason he's having a good year. That could bring them back some more prospects at the deadline. You're again, like, there could be other players who they're looking to trade at the deadline. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Like, if they decided, I mean, they've got three catchers right now, and I think that they probably do have a feeling that at some point it's worth deciding which two. Because, like, I'm not saying Corey Lee's not, like, in the Cuero and Teal category, but I do think Corey Lee's probably out of, I think he's out of options now. And if you think that he's a legitimate backup catcher, then it probably is time to move on from, you know, you don't really want to just carry Cuero, Teal, and Lee on your roster. That could be bring back something else again. Like, there's Braden Montgomery could still be eligible this time next year. Not ideal if he is, but it wouldn't be stunning if he was. It wouldn't be stunning. I don't think they would be at the same level of prospect, but Noah Schultz or Hagen Smith, one of those may still be eligible this time next year. That's, I think, a good, probably I would say most likely prediction, because again, this is where this gets fun, is you're having to kind of game out who's going to, like, we really like the Pirates and the Cardinals farm systems now, but I would say in both cases, like, they're going to graduate the Connor Griffins, the Bubba Chandlers, the JJ Weatherholtz and all of the world, where those should not be part of the factor at this time next year. Like, the other sneaky one I would say is the Brewers. Not because, you know, for one, the Brewers do mint pitchers, let's just be clear. But at the same time, Jesus Mate very well could still be prospect eligible. Cooper Pratt could still be prospect eligible. Depends on, like, they've got a pretty loaded big league club where, not that, like, let's just be clear. When Jesus Mate is ready, Jesus Mate should be good enough that you're not like, oh, no, Caleb Durbin is here. Caleb Durbin means that you can't, you know, the you shall not pass. Now, I like Caleb Durbin, but Jesus Mate is not going to, that's not going to be a speed bump for him, you know. But they do have other, like, they have a number of guys who might end up spending a little bit longer in the minors. And Mate, by the way, Mate will not be spending a long time in the minors. Mate is going to be still one of, going to be the youngest player in every league he plays in this year. But that would be another one that kind of jumps out to me. And if I wanted to get really, like, they're going to graduate some players. But the Rays are one that when you look at already the trades that they've made, because they've just added Melton, who will graduate. If Jacob Melton doesn't graduate this next year, that would be bad. They added Brito. They added Austin Overn. They added Slater DeBrun, they added Kaden Bodine, they added Michael Ferret. A lot of prospects they added to was already a pretty deep system. It just gives them so many guys who could develop into top prospects to go with, again, the Brody Hopkins, the Theo Gillins, the guys they have. And then they're going to also, I would say, you know, again, it wouldn't shock me if they're a team that if they get to the deadline and they're like, we're not going to, you know, catch anyone or whatever, there's no player the Rays won't consider trading. Anyone else that jumps out to you as another team that could be a number one farm system a year from now?
I'll say anybody but Junior Caminero. So I'll slightly disagree with you there. Yeah. I would imagine that Junior Caminero is not going to be on the block.
Hey, you know, I think I could see them making that. Hey, you know, we've got Caminero. What about, you know, you've got Otani, you know, like, you, if you pay the deferred money, you know, no, I mean, I guess, yes, I don't think they're trading Caminero, but I would say the Rays are the Rays. If the right deal came along, they'd at least consider it.
Yeah. I would say if I had to throw out another system, I think that the Brewers are probably another smart bet. We talked about Mate, Louis Pena. Cooper Pratt, I suppose, could graduate, but probably won't.
Unless they make another move. Like, they've got middle infielders right now.
Sure. And there's guys like Brady Ebel, Ethan Dorchess, even a Brock Wilkin or J.D. Thompson. A bunch of these guys. Yeah, a bunch of these guys could take big steps forward next year. Andrew Fisher, and could be considered top 100 prospects. The Brewers do this every year. Right, where they have at least a few guys, if they're not on the list, they're on the fringes of it. they're a system that I think could take a pretty sizable step forward. Here's a dark horse for you. And I think they're probably going to graduate too many players from the top of the list in Snelling and Joe Mack. I don't think the Marlins are that far off. That if they have a couple of breakouts, maybe, you know, Brandon Compton and Cannarella have really, really good years. Carson Milbrandt takes another step forward. Ava Arquette proves to be what we thought he was coming out of the draft. They add in the draft again, maybe have another nice draft, add a couple of nice picks, maybe some upside college arms, round four, round five. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they could also be in the mix for number one system. Like I said, I think they're going to graduate Snelling and Mack, which I do think is going to hurt them. But this system is a lot deeper than I think people realize. That there are some interesting players and some high upside, like young guys in that like 15 to 25 range in the system. So they're one that I'll throw out there, because I think the Mets are in the conversation now, but McLean,
but they should graduate.
Hong, Williams, Sproat, their top five, they could legitimately graduate every single one of those guys. And it wouldn't shock me if Clifford's up to the big leagues and has a shot to graduate. Jack Weininger gets, you know, some starts if there's a bunch of injuries and he has a chance to graduate. There's enough guys here that that system could thin out pretty quickly. And then there's not really another one where I look at the top of the system, think about where their top players are, and then think, because like the Giants, for example, Bryce Eldridge probably graduates. And if he doesn't, we're not going to view him the same way in a year. If he hasn't. So even if they add draft picks and all that thing, I think that it's going to be the similar story with the Mariners.
I will say with the Giants, that they have two or three or four guys. If you wanted to say that'd be my dark horse one, because if you said a year from now, Eldridge has graduated, but Josuar Gonzalez is now like, basically he has the Jesus Mate season, right? Where you're like, this guy is now one of the top prospects in all the game. And then you say, okay, whether it's Johnny Level or, you know, they've got a couple of other bats where you say one of those bats. And then they had that group of Arizona Complex League arms. And let's say a couple of them take further steps forward in full season ball. That's a sneaky one where it'd take a lot coming together, but maybe there's a chance of it, you know, that maybe that could pull together. I'm not going to go right back to you until you, you know, cause Jeff's at a sneezing fit today. But thankfully we had the mute button. But I do want to ask, cause we're talking about prospects. So that leads to our other big question. This one's fun. The number one prospect a year from now will be who? And I'll just set the stage and say, we're going to give, I think you said as we were prepping for this show, Brewers shortstop Jesus Mate is the free square on bingo. This is the one that, look, we'll start with saying he's absolutely in the consideration because there's a very good chance Mate doesn't graduate. You look at where he's ranked right now, he would be the guy who is in pole position to simply ascend to number one just by continuing to do what he's been doing. When Connor Griffin, when Kevin McGonigal graduate, here it is. It's Jesus Mate by acclamation. We're going to start. If we just said that, we're not really telling you much. We want to go a little bit beyond that. So that's the free square that we both agree. He absolutely has a chance to do it. But in taking Mate off the board, who would you look at as a possible number one prospect a year from now?
I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. I think it's Bryce Rainer is one that could potentially be in the mix. Let's say Connor Griffin graduates, because that probably happens.
If that doesn't happen, something went wrong.
Yeah, I think a full healthy season from Bryce Rainer, at least from players that are on this list that are not named Jesus Mate, has a good a shot as anybody. Leo DeVries being the other one. But we've started to hear some more negative feedback and kind of questions with him this offseason than we had previously. I still think a really good player, really going to rank very highly. but he'll have to really hit. And I even think he's the type where he was already in Double A to end the season. If he really hits and performs in a way that pushes him up to that number one spot, he's probably up in the big leagues and graduates, especially with that A's team, which I don't think the lineup is bad. And if they can get a little bit better, even at some point during the summer by calling this guy up, I think it might happen. So I think that kind of eliminates him somewhat from the conversation. I guess Walcott might be another one that you can call out there, but I think he's in a similar situation to DeVries, that if Walcott, he really hits next year, he's probably up in the big leagues by July.
Walcott has enough Double A time now that I don't think it's really possible for him to thread the needle of a great enough minor league season to be our number one prospect, where by acclamation, people are like, this guy is the guy. He's found that next level and he's taken that further step and still not graduate, because he was up in Double A to end 2024. So I got a couple others that I think could fit into that group. I would say, I mentioned Josuar Gonzalez. That's one that I would say is not a crazy idea, that like the guy who was probably one of our biggest movers in 2025. When you talk about where he started the year to where he ended the year, giant shortstop prospect who was great, in rookie ball. But if you said that he has the breakout season and full season ball following up on that, that's a guy who kind of has the pedigree, I would say, has the tools where you could see it. That's one that jumps out. We mentioned Caleb Bonnemer before. I would say, I think your Bryce Rayner is probably a safer bet to potentially be the number one. Bryce Rayner came into the 2024 draft. It was, well, there are two clear top-notch shortstop prospects in this class. There's Connor Griffin and there's Bryce Rayner. And Rayner then got hurt, injured his shoulder early in the season. But until that point, the two of them were in the FSL together. And Connor Griffin was better, but it wasn't that he was light years better. I would say that the big thing being Connor Griffin just has the Bobby Witt Jr. tool set as well. Like Bryce Rayner is kind of a very tooled up player, but not, we don't see many players tooled up. Like Connor Griffin has eights, sevens and eights all over his scouting report, tools grades. Bryce Rayner has more sixes, which is really good. Sixes are good, but he could absolutely be a guy. Okay, let's try to then amp up. Now let's say, okay, those are our number one prospect predictions. But if you had to say a crazy guy, like, okay, I'm going to prompt you on this one because I know that you believe this guy. Is there a way that Arjun Namala could be the number one prospect in baseball a year from now, for one?
Yeah, no, I certainly think that could happen. The defense is good enough. And I think he's young enough at 20 for the entire season that if, let's say, great camp, debuts in Double A and just hits, that he's then in Triple A after the All-Star break and they're like, we're going to have you there for, a majority of the remainder of the season, up until the end of the year. Buffalo makes the playoffs, he plays well, and maybe gets a week or two in the big leagues and really hits and maybe even gets on the playoff roster. I think that there's a chance there. And I don't think it's totally crazy that that all hits, because we've seen him put together like the really good halves. Like he was one of the best young players in baseball in the first half last year and then just kind of fell off the table. And it wasn't so bad in terms of swing and miss and all that sort of thing, that it's crazy to think that he was maybe just a little unlucky. So if some of that timing stuff gets fixed, it's not crazy to think he could, hit himself into that conversation. It's definitely a dark horse. I mean, it's not something that I would go and bet more than a dollar on.
Okay, one more dark horse. Is it crazy to suggest that Dax Kilby, which would be crazy from the standpoint of there were a lot of high school shortstops in this last draft class, but Dax Kilby was not at the top of that list. But then Dax Kilby went out again. This is long shot of long shots, but he then went out and had a kind of eye-opening pro debut, which we don't even get to really talk about pro debuts for high school picks anymore. But Dax Kilby did have one. are the tools loud enough for Kilby to be in that consideration, or is it more like that we think he could be a top 25 prospect? Like, I think of Theo Gillen. Theo Gillen had a really good year. I could see Theo Gillen being a top 25 prospect a year from now for the Rays. I would struggle to say that he's going to have the full, well-rounded tool set to be a top five or number one prospect. Is that maybe too rich for Dax Kilby?
No. I mean, I think you look at what Kilby did, what the tools are, the organization and fan base. Like, if he really performs and continues to do what he did, let's say gets up to double A by July or August and continues to hit there, I don't think it's crazy. I think maybe based on draft position, it's not something we anticipate, but it is pretty good.
So, okay. So now we've looked at the number one farm system, looked at our potential number one prospect in 2027. That's not bold enough for us. So now we want to say, like, okay, we're going to make one other prediction looking ahead into the new year. Jeff, I'll make mine first. It's kind of something I've been talking about a little bit. I'm going to be bold, but I'm going to be also try to be rational bold. The bold prediction would be the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to win 95 games in 2027, you know, 2026, and go, you know, go to the NLCS or something like that. I'm not ready to go that far, but I do think that the Pirates win 85 plus games, which, by the way, winning record for the Pirates would be a big step forward. They win 85 plus games in 2026 and make a playoff run, whether they make it or they're just fall short and get kind of where they go into next offseason, likely to make the playoffs in 27. I keep saying it. I really do think that this Pirates team, that was before the Brandon Lau trade, helps a little bit. Okay, they've got, they're slowly but surely building a little bit of a lineup, to help out, which is a really good pitching staff. That's my prediction, though, is the Pirates take a step forward. The Pirates are in playoff contention for the first time in quite a while, like into the final week and a half of the season, and then really do kind of take that further step forward in 27. That's my crazy one. Do you have a bold prediction as well?
They just signed Ryan O'Hearn as well to a two-year deal. So
there we go.
You want to add another win on there? Or?
Yeah, I was going to say 86 wins, baby.
There you go. I think the Pirates one is good because it's something that you can kind of see, you know, trending that way. I'm going to throw another one out here. I think that the White Sox end up with a 500 record. I think that's pretty bold.
But that is bold because I do believe a 500 record for the White Sox would mean that their two-year improvement window would be one of the greatest two-year surges we've ever seen. Because when you start that low, you have so far to go just to get back to 500.
It's just another 21 games. We gotta coax out of them. I think the lineup could get a little bit better. Maybe more
common. 21 games
has a solid season for him. They don't trade Louis Robert. They have both of these catchers still, and you know the pitching staff is young enough that maybe they can figure something out here. I don't know. They have Sean Newcomb and Anthony Kay at the back, but.
Newly signed Sean Newcomb, you know, but hey, Shane Smith going to carry them. You know, I do worry. I love what the year that Rule 5 pick Mike Vassell had. If you tell me to pick the under on a player, the reliever who threw over 100 innings as a reliever sustaining that the next year, I'm a little worried because that's a – well, go look up Mark Eichhorn's year in 19. I think it was 87 if you want to see an example of this. You know, pretty much Mike Marshall could do this in the 70s, but relievers over 100 innings is a pretty tough ask these days.
I think the upside here is if, you know, McDougal is on the 40-man roster, let's say he continues his upward ascent, he gets to the big leagues and is a nice piece for them. Let's say Noah Schultz, I'm not saying it's completely fixed. Let's say he takes another step forward this year. After
mid-season arrival.
Yeah. Seeing the second time through the order for the first time in his life, you know, he took his lumps, he knows what he's got to do. He makes his adjustment and then moves forward.
Finding out that you can pitch in the fifth inning. Like the fifth inning is an inning that starters are allowed to start in. He's checked that box now.
He has. And then like Hagen Smith, who did look much better in the fall league, maybe he looks a little bit better and somehow gets up to the big league.
Maybe he also ends up being the closer on this team the second half of the season.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. And, you know, the lineup itself could be okay. So, you know, we'll see what Montgomery and Vargas and Murakami can do, because that could be a nice middle of the order if all of those guys show the same, well, at least two of the three show the spark that they showed last year. And Murakami proves that he can hit enough in the big leagues to get to that power. Because if he answers that question, even if he hits 230, that's okay if he's hitting 30 home runs. Like, I think the power is certainly there. It's just a matter of, like, how bad is the hit tool going to be? And I think you kind of have some similar questions with Montgomery and maybe even Vargas to an extent. But both Montgomery and Vargas had really strong ends to the season. So, I think there's some reason to believe. There's some reason to believe there with Kyle Teal, and Chase Meidroth is a solid player. So I, you know, it's not a terrible offense.
It has gotten a lot better, especially when you consider the, you know, again, from 41 to 82 in 2 years would be a very, very impressive. That's a, that is a bold prediction. I thought my Pirates was going to be bold, and then you go out there and you trump me. But I do think I will say, like, I was just bringing at baseballamerica.com. We have a piece up that I wrote about the hope meter for each team. Cause I really do think that, you know, like, one of the things that GMs and front offices don't do as good a job now, they're much more rational. But one problem of rationality is you've got to sell to a team, to your fan base, why they should care. And the problem with the White Sox 2 years ago, you can be bad. Being bad is not a reason for a fan base to check out. Being awful and utterly uninteresting with no players that you have any hope. Like, if you look at the White Sox lineup from 2024, which is one plus season ago, and you say, okay, well, Corey Leitz, their catcher, is their everyday catcher. He's now their number three catcher. Andrew Vaughn, White Sox fans don't want to talk about Andrew Vaughn these days. Okay. Nicky Lopez is now a utility infielder trying to make a utility infield job. Same for Paul DeJong. Lenin Sosa's still there. Andrew Benintendi's on, I think, the final year of his deal, so he'll be a regular. Louis Robert, they're hoping, is healthy. Dominic Fletcher's trying to get a fourth outfield job now. I think he just signed. Eloy Jimenez cannot hope to get a DH job anywhere. He was basically, he looks like a triple-A bat at this point. Gavin Sheets is in San Diego. That was their lineup from 2024, and it's like there were so few players there that you could even be interested in, and you just named all of these players we're talking about now. If you're a White Sox fan, anytime Munetaka Murakami comes to the plate, it's interesting to see what he's going to do. When you talk about these young catchers, it's interesting to see. Colson Montgomery is so much more interesting than anything when we were talking about from that group from 24. I'm with you. This is a team that has gone from being putrid, and you can almost be angry about, they were terrible. They were, you know, like, historically awful and meaningless for long term. Like, there was no, oh, we're building for the future. It was, we're building for the next guys who come in to take these guys' job. Here we are 2 years later. It's like, okay, they're maybe starting to build something. You know, we'll see. But that is a bold prediction. We do hope you've enjoyed this final prospect podcast of 25. We thank you all who've come along this journey with us. We're looking forward to doing it all over again, all through 2026. Please like and subscribe, whether for your podcast feed or, you know, on the YouTube channel. Click that bell so you know whenever we have a new pod dropping or new video dropping. And by the way, let us know what your bold prediction is. Let us know who you think your number one farm system or number one prospect is going to be on our YouTube channel. We love to read those. We love to respond as well. For Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.